wisdom of the Holy Spirit. We ask that he will think through my mind and speak through my mouth, that I'll be an oracle of God. I thank you, Father, that as we open our ears and our hearts to receive the word of God, that you will minister to us the truth of your word. In Jesus' name, we thank you for your manifested presence. All in agreement say, amen. Amen. Well, today we're going to talk about the habits of mind. The habits of mind. The things that you think on a regular basis form your actions, and when you keep doing that repeatedly, it becomes a habit. All of us in this room have had the challenge of having to overcome a bad habit, as well as the challenge of trying to form a new habit. But what we have in life and what we're experiencing is a product of what we've been thinking and what we've acted on repeatedly, and that became our habit. So today we're going to look at habits of mind. Now, from the beginning, it's a universal principle that God set up. From the beginning, God revealed himself as a God of habit, or one that operates through habit. He took a vast cosmos of the chaos before he put everything in order, and he set everything into a synchronous order, into a repeatable, predictable pattern. Each planet and stars, you notice the planets revolve around the sun. They're in the habit of that. The sun's in the habit of rising in the morning and going down in the evening. Actually, the earth revolving, but that's what we call sunrise and sundown. And the plants are in the habit of producing after a kind. What you plant doesn't produce something else. It produces after its kind. That's a predictable pattern. And a habit is that acquired pattern. And because these patterns, like seed, time, and harvest, are principles and laws of God, if we understand those, we understand the physics behind them, we understand the way that things work, then we can use that information to program ourselves to be more like God, to program ourselves to get good habits and to get rid of the bad habits. God has everything in the universe operating according to a habit or an acquired pattern. Understanding this, we should bring ourselves into God's perfect will by taking control of our habits. Now let's look at our text, Proverbs 23:7, familiar verse. Proverbs 23:7 says, a paraphrase of it is, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart. Let's stop and think about that real quick. As a person thinks in his or her heart, that's the way they are. It makes it a little clearer in the Good News Translation. The Good News Translation says, what he thinks is what he really is. What a person thinks is what a person is. Well, you know what? I'm broke. It's because you think broke. I don't think broke. I'm thinking of money all the time. Yeah, you think of spending it all the time. That'd make you broke. Because if you spent it all, you don't have any. Broke is not having the money. You spent it all. I think of spending my, I think of everything I got. I think of a $150 pair of gym shoes. I think of a big gigantic house. And I only make this amount of money a year, but I think of all that. As you think, so are you. Ooh, you know, cancer just runs in my family. I sure hope I don't get it. I got an aunt that died from it, an uncle, and so forth. Oh, I hope I don't get that. You keep thinking about that, you're going to get that because you're going to create it and draw it to yourself. Whatever you think on grows. What you spend the predominant time thinking about, that's what you're drawing to yourself. Well, you know, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. That's not what I want to happen, so I'm not going to say that. And I'm not going to think that. I'm going to think of what I want to happen. Is it just positive thinking? Positive thinking is always better than negative thinking, but it's positive thinking which produces positive action, and it's a positive action that's sowing it. So understand, you got to get the thought first, then the thought has to be followed by the action. That's how it works. As a man thinks, so is he. We are the way we think, although we may think a thought we had yesterday. No, I'm not like that. Deep down on the inside, there's a paradigm that happens on the subconscious mind. Maybe your parents always say, you never going to have anything. White folks can't have nothing. Black folks can't have nothing. Poor folks can't have nothing. The rich folk got everything. That may be in your mind. So my, what you say on the top, what's really in your paradigm down in your subconscious mind is, I have an excuse for why I'm not going to have anything. It's because I'm black. It's because I'm white. It's because I didn't come from a rich family. It's because I don't have a silver spoon. I was born with a wooden spoon or no spoon. There's a reason. No, you are the way you think. The way you think in your heart, that's the way you are. The way you think in your mind, that's the way you are. God is not a liar. We just have to figure out how it's true. As we think, so are we. If I don't like where I am, then that means since the things are in a habit of functioning a certain way, then if I understand that principle, I can alter the way I think, control what I think, control what I say, and I can reprogram my subconscious mind to where now I can agree with, I deserve to be wealthy. I deserve to handle my money well. I can do that. Doesn't matter what education I have or don't have, I can learn. I can do that instead of like excuses, why not? Excuses, excuses, excuses. Never excuse yourself to fail or you'll fail. Figure out a way to win. What he thinks is what he really is. What you think is what you are. The predominant thoughts that we've held in our minds make us what we are now. The thoughts we're holding now are what we will become. What do you think now about your health? Do you think everybody's dying of cancer? Everybody around you's dying of cancer? Do you think everybody's got this disease or that disease? Do you think with the food supplies all just awful, we're all gonna die? I know all that's a reality. I know all of that, but you know what I think? Not me, because I eat right. I eat organic, I eat mostly healthy. Every now and then I go to a fast food place, but not enough to affect my thing. I'm thinking exactly what I'm doing. I'm not eating that kind of stuff that's gonna kill me on a regular basis. That doesn't mean I don't have it now and then, but I said, I don't have it enough, I'm going out like that. So I may talk all the time about this to make people aware of it, but that's not what I sit around and think. I know that a lot of people are bankrupt, a lot of people are short on money, a lot of people that. I don't have anybody pressing me for any money. We pay everybody we owe. But that's what I think, that's what I say, and that's what I do. I believe I have more than enough. There's times I'd like to have more, but I have more than enough. I've never starved, never begged, and you know what? Never going to. Pastor, how can you know what's going to happen if I can say that? Because I'm saying it. That's how I know. I'm speaking it into existence. That's how I got to where I'm at now, because we weren't always here. And we decided to exercise the word of God and speak it to existence and think right and speak right, and things are right now. I've lived on budget for years. I don't have to worry about it. Everything's automated. So I thought about it, got it in order, did what I need to do. Now I don't think about it anymore. I just say I'm blessed. Well, why do you know you're going to be blessed in the future? Because I'm saying it. And that's what I think. And that's what I believe. And it'll be unto me according to my faith, just like it'll be unto you according to yours. And the fact that somebody refutes that in their mind means they believe the opposite. Well, how can you say that? Oh, you mean you can't say it? I can. I believe I can. I believe I have the word to stand on that. I have to have corresponding actions. Don't get me wrong. It's not just talk. I got to have corresponding action. I had to sit and make the budget. I had to make the budget work. I had to adjust it a little bit. If I get paid more or less or lose something, I have to pay or fix something unexpected, I have to readjust the budget. But I'd make the adjustment. I do the thinking. I take the action. I have the results. It's nice not to worry about whether you're going to have to, baby, don't buy no groceries. Because, you know, we can't get nothing else. You buy groceries, checks are going to be bouncing. So you got to wait till Tuesday when they're payday to get the groceries. Some folks live like that. That's a hard way to live. Or you got to go without to that. We don't go without it. We got enough in there. And there's a cushion in there in case you did want to go do something. It wasn't always like that, though. We had to change the way we think, change the way we speak, change the way we act, and it's good. It really is good. I said, Helen, I wish I knew what I knew now back when I was 20. One person said the youth is wasted on young people. Because once you get older and wiser, you can do so much for that youth. But now you're older. That's why they say wisdom should come with age. You know, you do some things the wrong way a few times. You if you're smart, you learn a better way to do them. And this is a whole lot easier because I'm not worried about it. I don't think about it. It's not creating stress between you and the wife or you and the husband. Money is not an issue. Nobody's fighting over money. Everything goes where it's supposed to go, be where it's supposed to be. A little extra in there if somebody wants to do something. It's all good. But that came from changing where I think. Do you think where you came from, where you were born, and what you know now, you could come to wealth? Do you think that many people really, the paradigm inside of their subconscious mind is not me? And they have 1,000 reasons why not. And until you reprogram your mind and change your habits, that is your reality. And yes, you did think that and create that because you really do think that. I'm never going to be like them. Look at them. And then you think of 1,000,000 reasons why you'll never be like them. Satan will help you. He'll give you 999,000 of them. You may come up with one yourself. He'll give you all the rest and make sure you know you can't be like that. Look at this. Look at this. Look at that. Look at that. And the thoughts that you accept and the ones that you believe and the ones you let get in your heart, that becomes your reality. You are what you think. Everybody in here, if they wanted a college degree and that's what they wanted, and I'm saying you have to have it, but if you wanted it, you could have had it. Or did you make excuse? Well, my school system wasn't that good. I didn't start off. Nobody supported me. Nobody helped me. I can show you many people who had the same situation you had, and they did it if that's what they wanted. It's about what you want and what you're willing to work for, what you're willing to sow into, and what you're willing to think and speak and act on that produces your reality. It's not what the situation is. Like one person said, life is fair. It will give you whatever you demand of it. It will give a poor person wealth if they demand that of life. It'll make a rich person poor if they do the things to produce the poverty. Life will give you what you demand of it. It's like clay. You shape whatever you want to with it. Your life is the clay that you control. And you control it with your thoughts, which produce your actions, which become your habits. And your habits will make you or break you. Albert Einstein said, "The world as we have created it is a process of our thinking. It cannot be changed without changing our thinking." Say it again. Albert Einstein said, "The world as we have created it is a process of our thinking. It cannot be changed without changing our thinking." If you don't change, things don't really change for you quickly. The quickest change can be made in your life is within you. Some people say, "Well, I keep getting bad mates and bad spouses and bad girlfriends." Look like you need to change your picking criteria. You might need to get a new set of criteria on how you pick a spouse. Maybe cute with curly hair isn't the best criteria. Maybe they need to go to church and be hooked up to God. You know, maybe your criteria is they love me more than anything else in the world. Maybe you need to get they love God more than anything else in the world. See, you might need to make a change. "Well, I'm tired of not having enough money." Most people have enough money. They just don't handle the money they have well, or they overextend themselves. Yes, I know the pressure is real, but you created the pressure because you're thinking. You thought somehow you could not have a budget and just spend money and you have enough at the end every month. You thought somehow that you're rich when you don't have that kind of bank account, so you live like you're rich. Somewhere you thought something that was incorrect. Then you acted on that incorrect thought and it produced a harvest you did not want. And you may have financial weeds in your life instead of financial wheat. You might have relationship weeds instead of relationship wheat, but we did sow into that. But thank God, seed time and harvest, all we got to do is control that seed. Make sure we sow the seed that we want. So we really need to learn, what kind of seed do I need to be financially successful? What kind of seed do I need to have a good marriage? What kind of seed do I need to have a healthy body and to live long? I always say, I've been saying years, I'm going to live until I die. I've been living until I die. For some reason, when I was young, a spirit come to me. I didn't know it as a spirit. I look back now as a spirit. I was maybe 18 or something. And I used to say, "I can't see myself living past 30. I just can't see myself." And this was before I understood the word and the power of words. And I don't know where this came from. But for a couple of years, maybe from 18 or 19 to 21 or 22, I remember I would just have a thought, "I can't see myself living past 30. And I, because, you know, it's like I'm trying to see myself living past 30. I couldn't see my, do you know that was the devil? That was the devil trying to steal my ministry, trying to steal my life. I didn't know that. I don't know where the thought come from. I thought it was mine. And I began to say that. Then I started going to Word of Faith Christian Center, and I heard Pastor Butler teaching the word and the power of your words, and be careful what you say, and you can control your destiny. You have the authority of a believer to do that. And I said, "Hold up now. No, I see myself. I don't know if I want to go 90 or 100, but I'm going to live at least 90 to 100. And with long life shall he satisfy me. I shall fulfill the number of my days. He shall give me health and never sickness." And I began to see that. I didn't get nervous and scared, but I began to say that, and I felt the urgency to say it as I approached 25. And I haven't had a thought like that since then, because I had to undo that. But Satan will give you thoughts like, "You'll never have money." And you'd be surprised at how you hold on to that. And that never was a thought from God. That was Satan. He'll give you a thought, "You'll never find anybody to marry you." And that's the lie from the devil. He'll have you say all kinds of stuff. "I'm never going to have enough money left at the end of the month. Nobody's ever going to love me." We all know, because we got the same devil. He says all kind of crazy stuff that there's no biblical support for. But faith comes by hearing when we listen to the devil more than we read and listen to the word of God. We program our mind that produces our habits, that produces our results. "As a man thinketh, so is he." Consider the habits of your mind. Think about it. Considering the habits of your mind, are we in the habit of thinking in line with the truth of God's word? Are you in the habit of thinking in line with the truth of words, God's word? Are you in the habit of thinking in line with what you feel? Do you walk by sight or do you walk by faith? Do you walk by feelings? Or do you walk by faith? Is that person against you because you feel they're against you? Or do you not even know whether they're against you or not? You just think that negative thought about them. So then you treat them like that, and eventually they may be against you. Or maybe they're against you because you treated them wrong first. Who knows? We have to be very careful and control our mind. Because some people are in the habit of treating people poorly who they think are against them or feel they're against them, and those people are not even thinking about them. Because you walk by one day and you say hello to them and they didn't say anything. The devil told them, see, they snubbing you, and you believe that and begin to act that out. When the thing is, they didn't even hear you. They had a headset in their ear. And you walk by that cubicle, hey, good morning. And you did it 3 days in a row and they never even turn around. And you like, oh, you're going to treat me like that? Well, I can treat you like that too. They ain't even in the world you living in. You live in that world, cray cray land all by yourself. You mad at folks, you know, so-and-so didn't even talk to me. I didn't talk to them 3 times. I ain't saying nothing to them then. If they can't talk, I ain't going to say nothing. You create all that in your head. My husband this, my husband that, my wife this, my wife that, and my kids. You create that whole stuff from the thoughts that you took. You cannot afford the luxury of a negative thought. So don't think it. If you don't want to grow it, don't sow it. Like Brother Hagin used to tell us students, he said, you know, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you ought to have enough sense to stop them from making a nest in your hair. So thoughts can come, but you don't have to take them. The way Satan gets you a sign for something, he come with a thought. He come and say, well, you know, Doris, the flu is going around. And if you say, yeah, you know, I got to take myself some vitamin C and do all this, instead of saying, when any thought like that come, I'll be watching TV and they pop up and say, flu season is starting, you need your flu shot. I say, I don't need no flu shot, and I might get no flu. It may be going around, but it's going to keep going around because it ain't stopping here. That's what I say. I'll talk to the TV. The Bible says, pull every vain thought, imagination to captivity to the word of God. With long life shall satisfy me. I'm healed from top of my head to soles of my feet. By Jesus' stripes I am healed, were healed. If I was healed, then I is healed. You just go straight to bad English. I is healed. Yes, I is. I is healed. So I don't care what the devil says. I is healed. Present tense. Is healed. And you know what? You may not think you have that power, but you do. You have creative power. And I know I have it. The devil can't lie to me like that. So I can speak a thing that's not into existence. I have divine health from top of my head to the soles of feet. I don't get sick. Sickness doesn't belong to me. You know, whenever I've had something going on in the last 12 or 13 years, I always look back to something I did. I probably went to fast food and ate something I shouldn't eat. I was running outside, you sweating, and then you got your shirt off. Next thing you know, you got a little sniffle. I said, you know what? Thank you, God. I was stupid. I sold into something I didn't want. But I do know what happened because I understand the habits of the universe, the way things work, the way things move. So when I understand those principles, I can live according to those principles. If you think you can get in your car under normal circumstances and drive it with no gas in the tank, you're not understanding the laws or the principles of mechanics. The car needs gas. You know, there's some supernatural things to happen where you God will help you, but that ain't every day. If God told you to go to the gas station, you didn't go Monday morning, you're going to be stuck in your driveway. You're going to get a ride somewhere because you broke laws that God didn't tell you to break. So it's the same thing as when bad things happen to good people, there's laws that have been broken. I'm not talking about people doing crazy stuff. I'm talking about something serious because, you know, somebody may curse you out. Somebody may do it. You don't control that, but that didn't have to bother you either. The word of God has something to say about those. Love those who despitefully use you. So you don't have to be upset about it. So God's got you covered. I'm not saying you can control other people, but you can control you. You can always control you by what you choose to think. Albert Einstein again, the world as we have created it is a process of our thinking. It cannot be changed without changing our thinking. If you don't change you, nothing's going to change for you. Let's define habit. On the next slide there, it says, what is a habit? A habit is an acquired pattern of behavior. An acquired pattern of behavior, a dominant or regular tendency. It's an acquired pattern of behavior. It's a dominant or regular tendency. It's an involuntary behavior as a result of frequent repetition. We saw on the video there where if you want to, let's say, for example, I was reading a story about this guy and he had gained like 80 pounds over the course of 3 years. And he was like, man, you know, in his mind, he was addicted to cookies. So he said he had to figure out, understand the habits, what is he doing? And he understood that process. They talk about the cue of the habit, the routine, and then the reward. And he said he noticed that he always had a big chocolate chip cookie every day at work. And he said, well, what is, you know, I'm understanding reading something about habits. How did I get in the habit of eating this cookie? He said, I want to stop, but every time he looked up, he was there eating the cookie again.
And he said he'd go to lunch and do all that. And he tried to figure out, since he had figured out how habits work, he was reading a book somewhere. He said, what I noticed is about 3 o'clock to 3:30 every day, it's like I went to lunch earlier at noon, I'm kind of middle of the afternoon, I kind of look up, I look at the clock, and it's always between three. You know, anybody know that? Sometimes you look up, it's the same time. There's certain times a day I look up, because you get in routine, you get in habit, and then look up, and he said he see that, and he said, I'm going to go on a break now. So between 3 and 3:30, he'd go up to the commissary there, and he'd just naturally go get this big chocolate chip cookie and sit there and talk to his friends for about 10 minutes, 15 minutes. It's like a break. But he said he had the choice to do it, but somehow he just started doing it, but he kept doing it, repeated, till he acquired the habit of it. But meanwhile, he's eating all these dead calories every day, 5 days a week. And he began to gain the weight over 4 years, eating that afternoon cookie, which he was not going to burn off. And he wanted to break the habit, and he said he had understood about the cue, the thing that sparks it, and it was looking up at that time in the middle of the afternoon, and something in his mind, when it was 3 to 3:30, he would get up and go up there. It was almost like automatic, without thinking. And then he'd be there, and he began to think, well, what's the reward? They say there's a cue, then there's the routine, there's a reward. What is the reward? Reward is he would always talk to his friends. If you study psychology, I minored in psychology, I have Pavlovian conditioning, where you, let's say, if a dog, you put two bowls of food there, one of them is really good food, and the other is like okay food, the dog will always eat the good food, but if every time the dog came to eat the good food, you gave an electric shock, the dog begins to eat the okay food and stay away from the other. Becomes conditioned. Forms a habit of staying away from that one. I told you a story about the elephant when the man was in the circus and he looked and he said, he went out back behind the tent where they had the elephant tied up and they had this little thing looked like a shoestring around this big gigantic tons and tons of elephant. And the guy went, you tied that around his leg and he doesn't move? Man, he can break that. He said, yeah, he could. But when he was young and small, we put a chain around it and he couldn't break it. Then a heavy rope and he couldn't break it. To now, after all those years of training that elephant, all we need to do is tie that little string around him. He sees the string and he no longer has the will to try. He's in the habit of not even pulling against it. So that elephant will sit there and be held by a string that couldn't hold him, just like you sit there and get held by habits that really can't hold you. But you just think they do. You think you can't stop smoking. You think you can't stop fornicating. And as a man thinketh, so is he. You can, but you think you can. Nobody's got you in bondage. The habit doesn't have you in bondage. Your thinking has you in bondage. The habit's a product of the thinking. It's the thinking that has you in bondage. I can do all things through Christ, including break a bad habit. And you can too. But it's not my faith. Your faith will determine what's true to you. Let's look at the, again, acquired pattern of behavior. So this guy gets the cookie, and he's like, he thought through it when he understood how habits work. He said, what I liked was talking to the friends. Because he said, I always had fun. We're sitting there, maybe the coffee and the tea and the cookie. And that was a bright part of my day. It's a couple hours of getting up work. And he really loved it. He said, what I'm going to start doing is I'm going to still look at the clock, but I'm going to go up there intentionally and not get the cookie. I'm going to go straight to get a juice or something and get a drink, a low-cal drink. And I'm going to go talk to people. And he said it took him about, 2 weeks. But he said, I could have done without the cookie all the time. I could have done without the detrimental item all the time that the habit was causing, because what I really wanted was the reward, to get up there and talk to my friends. But somehow what happened was the first couple of times I went up there, I just happened to buy a cookie. And my mind got the cookie tied into the reward, and the habit got formed to get the cookie, when really the cookie wasn't the midst of it. It was that. It's like the drug. The drug gives you the caffeine or whatever it is, and you go on for that. If you can replace that with a glass of good juice, something that's healthy, your body wants to pick up in the afternoon. Your body wants to lift. Your body doesn't necessarily want the caffeine. So really, you don't have to give up. You need to exchange. And that's what you learn about habits. You don't take away a habit. You replace a habit. You replace a negative habit with a good habit. It's hard to give up stuff, but it's easy to replace things. Let's look at this word habit. The word habit is the Latin word, taken from the Latin word habitare. And habitare means to inhabit or to dwell in. Now, the Latin word habitare indicates that habits have us instead of us having habits. Your habits have you. You don't have, oh, I got a bad habit. You don't have a bad habit. A bad habit has you. Because what do you become? You become the slave to the habit. You become Pavlovian conditioning. You could be free, you are free, but you don't pull your leg loose. It's the habit of mind. The habit of mind that has you in the bondage. It's not the physical situation or the physical. It's the habit of mind. I can't give this up. I tried twice. Well, you might have to try. Some people say it's an average of 21 days for you form a new habit. Maybe you need to try for 21 days. Most of us ain't tried that in 21 days except getting the habit. We tried for 2 days trying to drop the habit and say it ain't going away. It's never going to leave. And all that did, failed attempts, is reinforced its control over you, because now you're convinced even more. But that's a lie. No, it's going to take 21 days. It's going to take a month. But you know what? I'm going to make myself do it because I'm well able. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then you'll find out your body normalizes. So it's not designed to caffeine in the middle of the day. It's not designed to elicit sex and what comes from that, the oxytocin and those chemicals. It's not designed to always need somebody, the infatuation. No, I can live by myself until that right person comes along. I can be whole, because you can do all things if that's what you think you can. If you believe the truth of God's word versus what your feelings are telling you. Habitare, to inhabit, to dwell in. A bad habit has you. You don't have the bad habit, and you need to free yourself from that slave master. If we're in the bad habit of sinning, smoking, illicit sex, idolatry, robbing God, these habits will ultimately cost us everything, because sin will always take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you way more than you want to pay. That's the nature of sin. It's the way it works. Sin, you start in it just a little bit, you form the habit of it, it will always take you further than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay. It will always screw you up. That's the nature of sin. Do you understand? That's the way sin works. So when people play with sin and they toy with sin, I'm big enough to handle it. This is not going to bother me. There's a whole lot of sinners saying that. Yes, it will bother you, because the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. That's what sin pays you. If you sin in your diet, you will die. Your health will die. If you sin in your relationships with people, you will kill relationships with people. A marital relationship, a parent-child relationship, a friendship, you will kill it, because sin kills. That's why God hates it so much, because it hurts people. And it always hurts people. But do you believe that? On your mind, you're thinking, but I can handle it. I can just cheat this one time and nobody's going to know. It ain't going to hurt nobody. Your heart knows. I can say I've been faithful to my wife, not like, which day, Tuesdays and Thursdays or Monday, Wednesday, and Friday? Now, I've been faithful to my wife because it's just been faithful. Ain't nothing to be figuring out. Somebody started talking about, I'm the father. You know, you're not the father. These four right here, I'm the father of those kids. I ain't the father of no other kids. Unless there's miracles happening, it's, you know, I ain't sold no seed into producing no crop other than with that woman right there. So anybody else, I can boldly say they're a liar. Some people really have to say, I didn't know. I know we was together that one night way back in. I didn't know you was pregnant, though. How old is he? Ooh. How old is she? Ooh. I don't know. I really don't know if you mind or not. You might be. Let's get a pregnant. Nah, if you come talk about I'm your daddy and you're not my four kids, you lying. You lying, because I don't believe in immaculate conception with you. That's you and God, not me. I only have natural conception, no immaculate. But sin, again, one more time, will always take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will always cost you more than you pay. Sin is evil. You don't want to do it. If you identify sin, stop it. If you're smoking, stop it. I can't stop smoking. I've been addicted. I've been smoking for a million years. Okay, nicotine junkie, don't you want to stop being that? Well, I can't stop eating fast food. Don't you want to stop eating that stuff that's going to kill you? Because once you get in that doctor, they're not bringing McDonald's into you in the hospital. I'll go visit people in the hospitals. They don't serve McDonald's in the hospital. You're going to stop it. The question is whether you're going to stop it in time or not. Treating your wife and your husband any old kind of way, you will end up divorced and alone. No, I won't. Yes, you will, because you're sowing into it. There's three things that we must realize in order to form new habits and understand habits. Number one on the next slide is you have to realize what we've been talking about. We are what we think. As a man thinks in his heart or his mind, so is he. When I first read that, I said, well, you know, the heart of man is the spirit of man. So is that thinking your heart or thinking your spirit? Because that's two different things. So I had to look that word up, thinking it might be in the Greek, that it might be pneuma for spirit. But it's not. In the Hebrew word, it's not the spirit word. It's the word nefesh. And nefesh means, or it's translated 475 times, as the soul, 15 times as the man, mind 15 times as the heart. So it's talking about the center of man's thinking. It's not talking about the spirit. So when it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, they're actually saying, as a man thinks in his mind, so is he. That is not a twist of scripture. It actually is as a man. Because where do you think with? I think in my mind. I don't think in my heart, I think in my mind. My spirit already knows. It's like God didn't even think anything. My spirit just knows. It's like God. But I have to think and process and reason in my mind. So as you reason in your mind, whether you can or cannot do something, can break or not break a habit, as you reason in your mind, that word nefesh, your mind, realize that you are what you think. So when it comes to habits, and I want to get rid of a habit or form a good habit, I got to realize this thing. As I think, so am I. As I think, so okay. So therefore, I'm not going to change my habit if I'm not going to change my thinking, because that's a fact being presented right there. If I'm not going to change my thinking, I'm not going to change my mind. Okay, nothing's good. I have to realize, you have to accept that. Why? Because that's the truth of God's word. And you have to accept the truth to change. Can't believe the lie anymore. You have to adjust your thinking. You have to admit, I am the way I think. I have this wrong thing because I'm thinking wrong. I have to accept that. Let me go figure out what I'm thinking wrong. Let me fix that. Start thinking right. You have to accept that to change it. Let's look at the next one. The next one is point two, is realize we reap what we sow. Yes, I must have sown into it. If I look in my backyard and it's there, it's sowed from somewhere. Somebody sowed it. It's there. If it's in my life, then I must have had something to do with sowing it there. Now, it may be that my parents or my environment put all those negative things in my mind, but I let them stay there. I need to go and reprogram myself. I need to go and take that out. I can't make it. Yes, I can make it. If anybody made it, I can make it. Why? Because ain't nobody smarter than me. You know, ain't nobody smarter than me. There's people smart as me, and there's people know things I don't know, but there's nobody smarter than me. My mind works as good as anybody else's. I have the mind of Christ. 10 times wiser than children's world. There are people that know things I don't know. Understand what I'm saying? But under the same condition, I know what they know too. I could fly the space shuttle. If you put him in now, I'd be where the keys at. But that don't mean I can't fly. I just can't fly it right now. If I knew what they knew, I could fly it. Nobody's smarter than me, but nobody's smarter than you either. So there's no need to be afraid. If somebody else did it, you could do it. If that's what God laid on your heart, you can do it. You are well able. Go take the land. It doesn't matter. Nothing else. If they did it, I can do it. If that's what God wants me to do, I can do it. Because you got to unleash the barrier or you block yourself with your thinking. Man, I wish I could start a business. Why can't you? Then you start with that long list of why you can't that the devil gave you. Well, I don't have enough money. There's other people who start business and have enough money. That's why you raise money. Well, I'm not smart enough. Well, they went and learned what they need to learn. I can start a business. I can run a business. I can do it. I have to go learn some things, maybe, but I can do it. You got to start off with I can, or you're already defeated. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's never an issue whether I can. It's an issue whether I feel led to do it, or I want to do it, or I want to pay the price for it. I may not want to sow that seed, but I can do it. You have to believe that. Do not be deceived. It says in Galatians, well, that other one was in Proverbs, but in Galatians 6, 7, and 8, it says, do not be deceived. Hint, do not be deceived. People must be deceived if the word of God says, do not be deceived. So what are they talking about? Do not be deceived. God is not to be made a fool of. That's what mock means. Do not be deceived. God is not to be made a fool of. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Now, how many people still keep trying to make a fool of God? And they just said, don't be lied to by the devil. You can't make a fool out of God. Whatever you sow into, you are going to reap. Well, you know, I just do a little bit of drinking on the side. I talk about hard liquor, not wine. I just do a little sipping on the side. Just a little gin and juice every now and then, a little this and that. And, you know, I just do a little fornicating on the side. I just do a little sin on the side. There's no such thing as a little sin because all of it's deadly. Why don't you go just do a little arsenic? And get in the habit of keep doing a little arsenic. Eventually it builds up and it kills you because the wages of sin is death. Arsenic doesn't pass through the body unless you do chelation therapies. Heavy metals like arsenic, mercury, those things stay in your body unless you do chelation therapy. So most people have all the arsenic they ever took in their body now. And if you take it in higher quantities to get high enough, you die. Or you may start getting dementia and all sorts of things that happen related to too much mercury and aluminum in your body and all this kind of stuff. Because that stuff builds up in your body and it settles in the brain and causes dementia. That's why we have so many people now who are having dementia of this type, Alzheimer's, and these type of diseases are brain related to brain because they introduced that aluminum in deodorant back in the 70s. Aluminum is a heavy, dangerous metal. People drinking fluoride in water, heavy, dangerous poison metals. Matter of fact, fluoride is the byproduct of aluminum smeltery. You just go anywhere and Google fluoride, dangers of fluoride. It's pages and pages, documentary on documentary on how dangerous it is. Do not be deceived. God's not to be made a fool of. For whatever man sows, that also shall he reap. For he who sows his flesh, you will reap of the flesh corruption. Keep smoking, you will get emphysema. You'll walk around with your airbag and you'll be standing there. And where'd that come from? You sold into it. Well, how come they sold me the cigarettes? You know cigarettes kill people. You know that. God's not been made a fool of it, but you know I'm addicted. You're just in the habit. Let's get out of the habit. Stop believing in lies. Everybody in here, if you went through Alcoholic Anonymous, stop saying, hi, I'm an alcoholic. I'm gonna be an alcoholic all my life. No, you're not. That's the wrong thing to tell folks trying to get off. Just accept you're an alcoholic. And make sure you say you're reinforcing the tendency and you spend your whole life worrying about one little drink gonna flip you back over because you're gonna have this problem all my life. All those are the wrong things to say and none of them are true. It is not true that you were born an alcoholic and you're just alcoholic. Well, my mama's alcoholic, my dad's alcoholic. That's because y'all eat, think, and act the same way. They did that study with the food and they were talking about cancer is going from generation to generation. It must be genetic. And then they found out it follows the woman, but it doesn't follow the man. The daughters of the parents with cancer, it was a higher rate of cancer in her husband and their kids than it was in the son because the son didn't cook for the family. His wife cooked the way the other wife cooked. And they said when they did that study that there's no absolute link between hereditary and cancer. But they have said enough time, I'm sure a lot of y'all have faith and you think I'm stupid up here and I'm talking crazy because I just don't know. I'm sure you believe that. But that if your thinking produces good results for you, keep thinking the lie, keep believing the lie. Because you can tell the truth to somebody who believes the lie and they'll say you're wrong. But that's fine because it doesn't bother my health what you think. I'm hoping by me saying it enough times faith can come. But you study the science. Sickness is not a natural state of a man or woman at all, ever. Our body's designed to cure everything, but you have to give it what it takes. And God's not to be made a fool. If you don't give it what it takes to be healthy, it shall not be healthy. And there's no prayer you're going to pray. You reap what you sow. God's not to be made a fool. When you get people healed, you lay hands on them, God divinely heal them. And I tell them, I'm prophesying over you too. If you don't change where you eat, you'll be dead by such and such. And they think that's a bad thing. I'm just telling you a fact. You were almost dead here. We prayed and got you healed. I'm telling you, if you go back to eating that, you're going to be dead soon. Brother Hagin told Jack Coe that, a famous minister. And Jack Coe was overweight and real heavy and eating wrong. And the Spirit of God spoke to him and he went to him because God told him to. And he said, Brother Jack, the Lord told me to tell you that if you don't change the way you eat, you'll be dead by 35. He was about 33 then. And he said, yeah, I know the Lord's been talking about that. I know, but he didn't change. And at 35, he dropped dead. Tremendous man of God, miracles. Jack Cole was so bold, he'd line people up on the edge of a 6-foot stage. He'd say, I don't want nobody up here faking the Holy Ghost. We're going to have a healing line. I want everybody to line up with their heels right here, standing up there. I'm going to pray for you. Fall is God. Not as many people fail. And those that did fall, they fell 5 feet and they were fine. But Jack Cole was getting folks healed right and left. He had that power, and yet he was subject to being carnal and under his flesh, and he wouldn't say it. He said, yes, I know God told me about that, but he didn't change, and at 35, he died. True story. You can look up Jack Cole online. His son actually started preaching. His son's older now, but that's sad. Do we not accept the truth when we hear it? Whatever we think. We got to realize we reap what we sow, folks. We can't be hiding around, but God this and God that, God the other. God is the one who put it in the habit of sowing, seed time and harvest, reaping and sowing. God's telling you right now the principle that governs, the physical principle that governs your reality. You need to realize I reap what I sow. So if I don't like what I'm growing, I got to check what I'm sowing. I got to. I can't keep going on like this when I don't like having the money or lacking the love or lacking the attention or lacking the whatever it is you think you need. You can't keep sowing what you're sowing thinking something's going to be different. Nothing's going to change until we do. Nothing is going to change. You're not going to get skinny watching exercise videos, you're going to get skinny exercising and eating right. I bought some exercise equipment, and I discovered several occasions and several hundred dollars later, owning exercise equipment does not make you lose weight. You lose money, but you don't lose weight. I told her I had an exercise cycle bike. I think Helen and I had it 5 years and had maybe 5 miles on it. I just put it out on the curb. I just put it out on the curb. Realize we reap what we sow. Tigers do not give birth to tadpoles. I don't care what you think or you're going to pray. Tigers do not give birth to tadpoles. They're not in the habit of doing that. They're not in the quiet, repeated pattern of doing that. Tigers don't give birth to tadpoles. Sunflower seeds don't produce bananas. We each reap of the habits of our minds. What are we in the habit of sowing into our minds? Are we in the habit of filling our minds when we go home with mindless sitcoms, movies, sports, reality shows, harmful music, and other forms of useless entertainment? Is that what you're in the habit of doing? Now, you already know this, so this is nothing I got to make up. Last week, how many hours, and I know everybody, I ain't watched the TV, it was just on. How many hours did you have the TV on while you were in the room? I know we all say that. I don't really watch it, I just have it on. See, I puff, but I don't inhale. We know how that works. How many hours did you spend in front of useless TV or listen to vain music? Almost all of us in here would admit more than we should have. Now let's contrast that, because we know what habits that's going to produce if you're in that habit. We know what the product of that is. Listen to music that's against God, watching TV shows where everybody's fornicating, where husbands, wives are running over to husbands, our husbands are weak. We know what all that's going to produce. How many hours did you spend in the habit of Bible study? Not including me teaching you on Sunday. Look within yourself. You first make your habits, then your habits make you. What habits have you made last week that's going to make you stronger with God? And what habits have you made that goes and undo the godly message? What programming have you allowed to go into your mind? Because you're programming your mind to think the thoughts it thinks. And if it's thinking bad information like, hey, you can have all this sex all over the place and everything's gonna be okay long as she or he don't know, or you never gonna catch a disease, that you cannot have any idea of what money you have, you just spend your money and go willy-nilly, but you're gonna make it big one day. Maybe you're gonna be a great actor or a great singer, but you don't practice and you're in the habit of not practicing. You want your relationship to be sweet, but you're in the habit of just saying what you feel like saying. Your habits make your reality, and your thoughts make your habits. If you think truth and you act truthfully, you'll get truthful results. Think right, act right, get right results. God's not to make a fool of whatever you sow. That's what you're going to reap. Stephen Covey said in his book, I'd given this book to Deanna some years ago, The 17 Habits of Highly Effective Teens. And he said in his book, we become what we repeatedly do. That's a wonderful thing. I tell my kids that. I said, look, son, daughter, you're going to become what you repeatedly do. Well, I was just doing so-and-so. I was just saying. I was just joking. Well, you need to just stop it. I said, because if you play stupid, you're going to get good at it. If you play ignorant, you're going to, whatever you practice, you get good at. I was just joking. You going in a circus? You going to be a clown? Why are you practicing jokes? See, you know, let every word proceed out of your mouth be towards edification, exhortation, and comfort. Cast aside every vain speech, for it does gender strife. You can tell a joke, but not a joke about a person, a joke about something that happened in life, but don't pick on people. That's vain, foolish jesting. Lay aside all vain and foolish jesting, for it does gender strife. And people do that. When we play the dozens and cap on each other, we used to do that in high school. That was not appropriate. That was not proper. That's hurtful. And people smile, but when you're winning, they're hurt. And everybody's laughing. You're ridiculing. That's evil. That's not good. That's not just playing. Tell a joke about something funny. Don't tell a joke about a person. Don't pick on. If you want to tell a joke on yourself. It's not as funny then. Guess how stupid I am. How stupid are you? People don't get that joke. Because that ain't funny, is it? Yeah, it's not funny because it's on you. K. cast aside all feigned jesting and foolish talk for agenda strife. What we become, what we repeatedly do. When our habits of mind are consistently positive, we'll produce positive results in our lives when they're consistently positive. If I go out and plant good seed in my yard of my life, and then I dig it back up with negative words, it's not planted, it's not gonna grow. You gotta consistently stay positive, consistently stay on the word, speak the word always. God, your will is my will always. To obey you is my will always. To love is my will always. God, your will is my will. I don't do my will, but I do the will of him that sent me. You got to get to where it's consistent. And when Satan sends somebody around trying to draw you into sin, you look at them and call them what they are and walk away from them. You ain't lost no friend. You hadn't lost. Nobody's going to help you get closer to Jesus. And like I said, are you too polite to serve God? Are you too comfortable? You remember those two messages we taught? Are you too comfortable to serve God? Are you too polite to serve God? Jesus did things that wasn't polite. And sometimes to save your soul, you got to upset some folk who want to go to hell and want you to go with them. You know what? I don't want to talk to you anymore. Well, you don't talk to me. It's like that. It's just like that. In case you understood it, it's just like that. Oh, you all like, I ain't all nothing. But I said, I told you, I don't want to get in that. I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to be getting into that. And you keep telling me you're not respecting me. We're not friends. You're not respecting me. Be willing to lose everybody to save your soul. If you get like that, you will save other people. But long as you round, swishy-swashy, Satan's got so many people out there. If you wishy-washy, you're going to get messed up. You have got to be bold and strong enough to stand up with integrity. Earl and I were talking the other day, and we were talking about something he had said to me a long time ago, integrity. Men, women, integrity. You do what's right just because it was right. You don't care what the consequences are. You don't care what it feels like. You do what's right because it was right. You do like they used to in the old days. You give your word. Your word is your bond. People give their word and circumstances, something come up, they change it and take it back. No integrity. Your word means nothing. Baby, I'm going to take you there. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. My daddy said he's going to take me there. Where daddy at? Your daddy had something else to do, or your daddy forgot, or your daddy, they soon gonna learn, I can't trust my daddy. Can't trust my mama. They don't love me. They don't care. They don't act like it. And then when your kids acting wayward and not listening to you, I don't know why they disrespect me. I'm such a perfect parent. Mm-hmm. Delusions of your mind. Remember, actions speak louder than words, and your actions are your habits. Let's go to the last point there. Realize we must renew our mind. Not unfamiliar. In Ephesians 4, 23 through 24, it says, put off concerning your former conduct before you were born again, that old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. You don't just put off the old man. You put on the new man. You got to replace one bad behavior with another good behavior. Put off the concerning the former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. There's a righteousness and holiness that appears to be true, but it's not. That's why they said true righteousness and holiness. There's a whole lot of I remember one time somebody did something cool. We said, that's righteous, man. Think back in the 60s, 70s, they talk like that. That's a righteous dude. Dude could be up there sinning, doing everything. That's righteous. That ain't true righteousness. So they had to put the true up there. And true holiness. There's a form of godliness, but it's really not real. And in the latter days, there's a lot of that. There's a form of godliness, a form of spirituality, a form of holiness, but there's no power in it. It can't change your life. It can't fix you. You might go through AAA and they tell you already, except you're always going to be alcoholic. That's already a problem. Right. You go to a doctor and he says, you're going to be on this medicine forever. Well, I thought you healed people. In the latter days, beware, for the world should be deceived by sorcery. That's what it says in Revelations. And the Greek word for sorcery is pharmakia, where we get the word pharmacology from. Right. And God warned us in the latter days before drugs were popular, he said the whole world will be deceived by drugs. And they got a drug for everything. You too up, they got a downer. You too down, they got an upper. You keep swinging, they got an in-betweener. You can have the red pill, the yellow pill, the green pill. It'll fix you up. What's wrong with you? We got a pill for that. We got one for that too. You got ED, we got one to get it up. It's up too long, we got one to get it down. She ain't jumping, we got something to get her jumping. Estrogen shots. You got low T, brother. That's what you got is low T. Men don't eat healthy, gonna have no T. You know? You eat healthy, you have all the T you need. So you need to be smart enough to be aware. Now let's finish this up here. What's point number three? You got to realize. Now look here, it says put off concerning, renew the mind, and that you put on. Now verse 22 says put off, and verse 24 says put on, but the answer is verse 23. How do I put off and how do I put on? Verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Your habit of mind, your thinking. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind and you'll be able to put off. How many people can put off smoking? We can. If you can't boldly raise your hand and you smoke, it's because you don't want to and you'll reap what you're sowing into. How many people can put off illicit sex? If you can't raise your hand and say, I could put it off, then it's because your thinking is messed up and you'll continue having the problem. You have yourself in bondage by what you think. The Bible says you can and tells you how to, and then commands you to do it, and you still think you can't do it. Do you think God's a liar? God's not to be made a fool of. Whatever you sow into, you reap. Don't be trying to pray your way out of it. When you're sitting there with these problems and all the stuff that God was trying to save you from, that's you. And you have it because you wanted it. The habits that you adopted now because of the thinking you had produce those results. If you want a good crop, you got to sow good seed. I want a crop of health. There's certain things you have to stop doing. But you don't know, I tried. Get Nicker Patch, get whatever you got to get, work your way down. If you need Alcoholic Anonymous, get off, get that, whatever you need. I know the word to do it for you. But you got to bring it in. You got to stay with it. And this is something you got to do, too, that a lot of people don't want to do. You have to deny your flesh. Flesh, I know you want this, but the answer is no. I'm in control of you. You don't control me. You got to get spiritual. Well, but Pastor, I'm so weak. You're telling on yourself. You're not reading your Bible, not studying the word. That's why you're weak. You have to starve your flesh and feed your spirit. Well, I mean the flesh behavior, the flesh nature. No, I'm not going to let you watch that TV to keep making me want to eat McDonald's and all this crap. I'm not going to expose myself to those commercials because I can't handle that right now. See, I talk to the TV. I won't let it take a thought. I don't watch a lot of it anyway except for what I control, but I'll talk to it. They'll come on here and talk about some McDonald's Happy Meal. I said, that ain't going to make nobody happy. That ain't going to make nobody happy right there. I've been to the hospital. We said, Daddy, could you be quiet? We trying to watch TV. No, ain't nobody no Happy Meal. I've been in the hospital. Ain't make nobody happy. Let them people tell you that's going to make them happy. I'm going to another room, Daddy, watch TV. You talking to the TV. Turn it all off. I throw them all out. I told myself, I throw them all out of here. I'm so close to throwing every TV in my house out. But I do watch certain things on certain selected programs. But I do know we reap what we sow, so I have to be careful what we're sowing into our family and into our children. And they have to be careful what they're sowing in their heads, because that secular TV and that secular radio will program them. We're all slaves to habits of our thinking. If we think wrongly, we'll remain where we are. No growth, no progress, no good success. And you know Romans 12, 2 and 1 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the process of renewing your mind so that you can prove the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. How do you prove the good, perfect, acceptable will of God? Back at the mind again. Be not conformed to this world. What is this world like? How do they eat? Don't be conformed to that. How do they date? Do not be conformed to that. How do they treat their spouses? Do not be conformed to that. How do they think? Don't be conformed to that. What do they do? Don't be conformed to that. Amen. You have to make sure that what you're conformed to is what lines up with the word of God. Because when you take from being conformed to the world and get conformed to the word, you are now transformed. You want to be a transformer, become something you weren't, become something new, become something better, bigger, stronger, faster, quicker, get transformed. Person who was under habits to a person who rules habits and set habits, I make my habits. This is the habit I'm getting in, studying the Bible. This is the habit I'm getting in, praying. This is the habit I'm in, going to church. How'd that happen? I made it happen. I think that's the best thing to do, so I acted on that and I made it happen. Well, it's hard at first. I remember how hard tithing was until I got the habit of it. But I've been in the habit of tithing my wife and I ever since way before we got married. I didn't think about it. It's automatically taken out. And then I add the offering to it. It's just done. It hadn't been a part of my budget in 20, 30 years. It's just not part of it. It's not my money, it's God's money. So I give it to him, and he's always blessed me. And my FICO score is great, and we can go get what we want and do what we want to do. How'd that happen? Faithfulness to God. Are you in the habit of obeying God, or are you in the habit of making excuses to God and pleasing the devil? Devil, what you want me to eat? Okay, I'll do that. God, what you want me to eat? I don't like that. I got to treat my wife a certain way, and the devil tell me to treat her like this, and the devil said, you need to go treat her like that, and God said, don't do that. I got a decision to make. God's way or the devil's way? Then I got to choose. Because when I choose, I'm planting seed in my relationship. And I got to stop and think of the harvest, because when I plant this seed, it's going to grow. What I sow, I'm going to reap. So you got to decide. Don't be trying to change it in the wrong place. You can only change it what you put in the ground. The ground's going to work automatically. Right. You got to determine the seed. Is that the seed you want to sow, financial success or financial death? Peace in your marriage or striving in your marriage? Your kids being blessed and grow up and call you blessed, or you want someone to be in their best friend and they like you so you don't ever discipline them. You let them do it. I was reading the other day, the Bible says a fool who does not correct his children. That's right. It's a fool who doesn't correct his children. They don't like it, but God likes it. I said, when you're ready to move, you act how you want to, but you're here right now, and this is where we're going to do this. Right. And if you're not 18, you have no choice. You got to be here. That's right. At 18, you're free to go. But you know what? I got to answer to God. And you got to love your children. Showing love is disciplining them. Right. Not about being mean or crazy or lunatic. Be fair, be reasonable, but be the parent. But no, they're good kids, but you got to train them up in the way they should go. When they're old, they won't depart from it. I don't want my kids hurt. I don't want my kids in jail. I don't want my kids dying early. I don't want them. And Helen and I had to figure that out a long time ago. We can't figure it out right now. If you didn't figure it out now, do the best you can, but they may already be trained. We had to figure that out. And they're good kids. They're not perfect, but they're good. We weren't perfect. That's why they're not perfect. If we were perfect, they'd be better, but they're very good. And I like to say we sowed some good seed into them. They have good sense, they're good grades, they're scholarly, they can do whatever they want to do academically. They all have had straight A's at one time or another. They're all great students, good people, moral people. Not going around getting nobody pregnant, nothing like that. And no use making your life hard. And you're going to reap what you sow, so don't sow into a hard life. Sow into an easy life and you experience an easy life. Let's close with a summary here. The next slide, let's summarize. God has the universe ordered to work in a predictable pattern. This is a good thing. I can count on when to plant because I know fall's gonna be there and winter's gonna be there, and I know when to plant. I need that pattern to work. I need God to keep that working. I need to know I gotta work in the daytime so I do something, so I need to know tomorrow the sun is gonna rise. See, there's things that happen that you can depend on. God is a God of order and decency. There are patterns, and he sets the laws to govern results. So if I learn the laws about how to prosper, and I follow God's laws on prosperity, guess what? I'm going to prosper. Just like if I plant at the right season. Hey, okay, winter's coming in Detroit. Let me go plant a crop. That's a stupid thing to do, because that's not the time to plant. There's a seed time, then there's a harvest time, and you don't plant at harvest, and you don't harvest at planting. So I like that God has this God of habit. I like that I can count on things. I like that if I do this, I'm going to get that result. Because I sow it, I'm going to reap it. I like when I plant corn. I'm like, man, I hope corn come up, not spinach. Because I want corn. I know if I plant corn, everything else being equal, I'm going to get corn. That's going to happen because it was corn seed. If I plant goodness in my marriage, thank God I'm going to get goodness. I'm not going to plant goodness and get evil. I'm not going to plant financial responsibility and get bad finances. I'm going to get the benefits of financial responsibility. I thank God for habit. One of those laws he has set is what a man sows, that shall he also reap. Another thing he has is habits. We covered habits are a result of thinking. Your habits come from your thinking. If you don't change your thinking, you won't change your habit. Don't go out there trying to change your habit. Go out there, change your thinking. We can change our thinking by renewing our minds to the word God. Yes, we can. Take Obama's slogan. Yes, we can. And we will change our thinking. Will we? Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. GP, are you with me? God's people, are you with me? Habits are the tools used to sow and grow the results. Notice the importance of a habit. Habits are the tools used to sow and grow the results of good and bad things in your life. Habits are the tools. Understand habits. Understand the importance in your success and form the right habits in your life. You're going to sow for a while, but God's not to be made a fool. You sow, seed, time, harvest. Don't come back next week saying, Pastor, I sold seed last Sunday and I'm not a billionaire yet. That's not time, okay? Seed, time. Pastor, I read the Bible 3 times last week and I ain't read it none the week before and I still am carnal. You probably will be because you've been seeing a whole lot longer than that. Seed, time, and harvest. And why can I keep doing that even when I don't see anything yet? Because I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved by only what I believe. And I believe seed, time, and harvest. I believe that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I believe that I will not sow any good thing and not receive a return on it. I believe that everything I put my hands do to prosper. Just put more word on top of it. Water it. Fertilize it. Seed, time, and harvest. Decide what you want to harvest. The seed has already been decided. Decide what you want to harvest, sow that kind of seed. If you don't know, ask somebody. I want this kind of harvest, but what kind of seed do I plant? Somebody will tell you. Somebody will let you know. Let's close with this last quote here. It says, this is the truth of the matter here. Accurate Bible-based thinking is the key. Because everything that pertains to life and godliness is in the Word. If you think accurately, that means you renew your mind to what? The Word of God. Renew your mind to what? If you renew your mind to the Word of God and you adopt the new habits of mind from the Word of God, you'll always produce a better life. You can't think like God think and not get God results. God is healed. God is whole. God is prosperous. God is blessed. God is good. You will be the same thing if you think the thoughts of God. Because what makes God who he is the way he thinks. And what will make you like that is the way you think. So think the thoughts of God. Pray to get the thoughts of God. Study the thoughts of God. Meditate the thoughts of God and make them your thoughts. And you'll get God's results. Our habits are the seeds of our success. If we transform ourselves by renewing our mind, resulting in renewing our habits, resulting in renewing our seed, we shall have abundant crops of good success in our lives. If we would do that. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you for the word today and for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for blessing us and strengthening us. Just a moment, every head is bowed, every eye is closed in prayer. If you're in here today and you never made Jesus your Lord, I want you.